Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horik and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys in the Netherlands. Today we have on the Marketing Technology Podcast, Jan-Benedict Steenkamp. He's a professor of marketing at the University of North Carolina. Welcome, Jan.
Well, thank you very much, Elias.
Could you, as a start, introduce yourself? So what's a Dutch professor doing here in North Carolina on the university?
Well, I did first of my career in the Netherlands and in Belgium. And in 2006, I moved to the US here to the University of North Carolina, where I was the chairman of the marketing department for 12 years. And I like it a lot here. And I decided to stay here and for a very long future.
Yeah. So, well, thanks for having me here in your office at the University of North Carolina. I have a couple of questions for you. Since you're a publisher, you publish a lot of books. You published a lot of books on branding. Mm-hmm. You're teaching on marketing. You're a professor here in the U.S. You do some stuff in China. So I'm very interested in hearing what you think. So my first question would be, As one of the main topics for marketers at the moment is proving their ROI, since everything is data in companies at the moment, everything should be measured, especially in online marketing, everything can be measured. So more and more, the question rises on the C level on how to prove the value of marketing. What do you think? How could marketers prove that value of marketing?
Well, I think what they definitely should do and should do more is to prove their value through the use of metrics. That is, that there are a lot of marketing metrics and financial metrics that are directly affected by marketeers. And if they can show to the CEO that their brands are essentially improving on those metrics, they can be metrics like brand awareness or brand consideration, but they can also are metrics like sales and market share and profitability. If they can show actually that these metrics are improving over time, those are the kind of things that the C-suite would be very interested in.
Okay, and do you think that's happening at the moment? What do you see happening in practice?
Well, I think in practice, it's not happening as much as it should. So obviously, there are companies that are doing a better job than other companies. There are also managers that are doing a better job. But what it does require of marketing managers, brand managers, that they think more, perhaps more quantitatively than they sometimes have done in the past. So there is a lot of improvement still here to be made.
Okay, so because I've done my bachelor's in the 90s and I followed by an MBA early 2000. During those days, like let's say pre-internet marketing days, people that were in the marketing profession usually used to be the creatives. When you're a creative, you're like into marketing, branding, etc. So at least that's what the feeling was, I think. Nowadays, everything gets measured. So as a marketer, you're like half scientist. Do you see that education has changed over those years in the marketing profession?
Yes, it has changed somewhat, but I must say that I notice it myself in the students here, also in the US, that too many marketing students, undergraduate as well as MBAs, they struggle actually with the quantitative side of things. I am not happy with that, and in my classes, that definitely is not going to be something that I won't push them on. But yes, it is happening too much. But so that is clear. They have to make big improvement there. But what we should not completely lose out of sight is what you call the creative part, is that strong brands are not only built by metrics. Let's be very clear about that. Strong
Absolutely.
Brands are built with a lot of insight and also with a lot of creativity. Mm-hmm. And so I would not want to downplay creativity, having insight, talking to consumers and getting a spark, you know, the kind of things that the people like a Steve Jobs or a Mark Zuckerberg
absolutely
had. Yeah. But it is not enough. That is not only what marketing should be, because realistically, creative people are usually not seen in the C-suite as, let's say, the most solid pair of hands, unfortunately. Perhaps it is what it is.
Okay. Well, that leads me actually to the following question, because talking about metrics, you were the co-author of an article, and let me look it up. It's a managerial metric use in marketing decisions across 16 countries. So it's a cross-cultural thing.
Yes.
You looked up, were the co-author on this metrics that were used, and I read the piece. Could you point out to our listeners what the highlights of the piece are, since there are some interesting points that we see there?
Yeah, let me just summarize what I believe is the most interesting thing. Is on the one hand, the use of metrics varies a lot between different managers, dependent on their position, also between companies within a country, but also between countries. And what to me the most interesting thing is that actually the biggest effect on metric use is the culture of the country you are in. So if you look at a company, you compare two companies and you even, you know, kind of equate, you control for, as we say, for things like organizational culture, for position of the manager, for size of the company, you control for that all. What you find is that actually the culture in which you grew up, in which you operate, has a much bigger effect on marketing use than any of these other firm or person-specific factors. And I had not expected such a strong effect.
No, people should basically look it up. I'll put it in the show notes. I'll put a link to your to the piece in your show notes, because I think it's very interesting to see that basically what you're saying, the cultural background, is way more important than the company you're in. Or the
that is actually pretty amazing. Yeah. And what that shows is that managers, I mean, are not only completely, say, rational beings, if you will, like mm-hmm. that, you know, only yeah. focused on profit maximization or something like that. That managers are also a member of a particular culture, like you are a Dutchman or you are yeah. American or you're Chinese. And that has a big effect on how you think. It also has a big effect on the kind of reward systems within society over and above the company. And people respond to it. By the way, people will usually not know that they respond to it, because a culture is like a fish in the water. A fish doesn't know that he's in the water unless you take him out of the water. That is the same.
Correct.
You don't understand actually much of the culture we're in unless you go to another culture and people say, well, you're really like this or that. I said, actually, I've never realized that.
Were there some findings for cultures that really interested you or that you didn't, let's say, expect? Could you name some?
And for me, the real big thing was here that culture was so important. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that I found kind of really perhaps interesting, because it's also relevant for some of the debate that we have, let's say Wall Street or so, is that in countries that are more, say, future-oriented versus countries that are more focused on the present, mm-hmm. that countries that are more focused on the here and now, metric use was a lot higher than countries that are more, their culture is oriented towards the future. Now, why is that important? Because what you see is that in these countries that are very much focused, let's say, on the next quarter, is the focus on, say, what we call here in the US on Wall Street. I mean, you have to meet the figures for the next quarter.
Yeah.
And that means, well, you have to meet the figures, so you need to keep track of your metrics. But that is not necessarily always so good, because it can go at the expense of long-term investments. It can, by the way, sometimes even lead to bad situations. Just this morning, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about Under Armour, where actually, you know, essentially people were cooking up sales figures because the CEO, Kevin Plank, was very focused on showing all the time that every quarter they had a high percentage sales growth.
Yeah.
Now, here you get the situation in which it is working negative. So yes, I think metrics are very important, but you also have to look at the longer term. So you have to track metrics over years as opposed to meeting it the next quarter.
And what kind of cultures or in which countries is that the case? Because you're referring to the basically Anglo-Saxon situation where we have like a quarterly sales quota and quarterly we have to meet with expectations because we're listed on the stock exchange, etc. So what cultures do focus on have let's say a multi-year focus?
What you would find, one of the main economies that would be along those lines would be like Japan.
Japan, okay.
Japan is a country, but let's say as a culture, it is much more focused on the long term.
Mm-hmm.
China is also a country which has a much more of a long-term orientation.
Yeah.
And the Anglo-Saxon countries, especially the United States, is the leading economy, not unimportant, is a country which has a very short-term, immediate orientation.
Yep.
And that sometimes leads to the erroneous results of trying to meet these quarterly effects without looking at the long-term health of the brands. So that's one of the things that I found very interesting.
Okay, well, thanks for sharing that. And again, I'll put a link to the piece because I think it's very interesting. You put it on LinkedIn a while ago.
Yes.
I'll put a link to in the show notes. Talking about brands and branding, you have published a couple of books on branding. Wondering what the if you're looking at a marketer's budget, about a third of the budget, and Gartner publishes like a piece every year. They published one yesterday
mm-hmm.
for this year. I think it degraded a little, but about a third of the budget is spent on marketing technology and tooling. Another third is spent on people. Do you think this, with all this spending on technology, does it have effect on branding? Is there a relation between technology and branding?
What I do not know, what Gartner classifies under marketing technology.
All the tools, basically. All the technology software that is being used.
Realistically, a third seems a lot of money to me to spend on tools and software. I cannot easily see that you would spend that much mm-hmm. on it. Now, it could very well be that they also include in the marketing spend, a lot in terms of spending on essentially promoting the brands on the internet,
mm-hmm.
Using different tools and technologies there.
That would be like a media budget. Is that what you mean? Or?
Well, I would normally say it's a media budget. I would be surprised if a marketer spends one third on say purchasing the software or some of the tools because most of these things are developed by somebody else. Say, for example, if you want to use the digital world, you might engage with a Facebook or with a Google or one of those other things.
Yep.
And people won't necessarily. You don't want to set up your own tool for that. Now, what's some of it may be spent on developing, brand websites. Although, so that's why exactly what is put in these buckets. And I've been in this business too long mm-hmm. that sometimes the details don't do matter. But so one of the things that could be part of this is the following. And that is that marketeers they certainly are getting more interested in either setting up their own brand website as a separate sales channel, or having a marketplace presence. So, for example, in Amazon or Tmall, Alibaba, mm-hmm. you essentially have a shop on that marketplace, like Amazon,
yep.
because a lot of the sales is Amazon doesn't own the products. It's essentially using
like a shop in shop.
It's a shop in shop, like what you have at a lot of different department stores these
course,
days.
Of course,
because you know they otherwise don't sell anything. And now there is some significant spending on that, and it could be that some of that is classified here as marketing technology, although, I mean, to me, it seems like spending on essentially distribution.
Yep.
But whatever the term is, what we see is that in a number of product categories, essentially opening up this additional distribution channel is very attractive. Mm-hmm. I personally have much higher hopes for marketplace than for, a branded shop.
Like, individual web shops or
Apple.com or so.
Yeah.
Now, some brands, I think they don't need any marketplace. Like Apple is so strong that people actively search out to go to the Apple.com.
Yeah.
That's fine. But for most brands, I mean, okay, you can go to P&G has its own shop, PG.com. Yeah. Why the heck would I go to PG.com? Because I can only get the P&G brands. Many people don't actually know that Pampers and
they know the brand. They don't know the brand names.
No, they know the brand names. They don't know
it's P&G. So yeah, you would be the marketplace would work out way better there.
It would work out way better there because you would essentially Amazon or so would direct you dependent on your needs to one versus the other place. So. I do believe that the marketplace has a lot more power for branding. But let's face it, it is a distribution channel. It is much less, it is some degree, it's a brand building channel. But at the end of the day, it's just a new distribution channel.
Yep.
So I do not see necessarily that brand building per se would be so strong through that kind of marketing technology. Where technology has a big effect in terms of brand building is to use digital opinion leaders. Mm-hmm. Now that is one of the things that is word of mouth, electronic word of mouth, because there you build a brand because they are recommended by people that are being highly regarded, or you look at the comments of people, so people talk about the brand, so you get a bit of the brand experience and see whether that is something for you. Mm-hmm. And that is one part of the electronic world which is exploding in importance.
It is, yeah. So, and also, I was thinking market research, where in the past you would always have like a lot of focus groups, and you would have to meet people, reach out to people. And currently, when you analyze data, basically people visiting online, but also people visiting actual stores. And I know you're also into brick and mortar stores, but you can analyze a lot there without, let's say, asking the people. You have to opt them in and let them know that you're doing this. I think technology could also play a big role in market research there.
Yes, I think in market research, what we find, and there is a lot going on. Yeah. So what you can do is essentially say you can scrape on the internet, say a lot of comments about your brands,
mm-hmm.
and then you can analyze them. So we required some kind of advanced things like machine learning.
Yep.
To essentially that is, if you will, a huge focus group.
It is, yeah.
And there are some exciting things going on. Now, whether, by the way, a company should do that themselves or they should have it done by an expert in that area, my point of view is that, generally speaking, you may be much better served by essentially outcontracting that to an expert, because the company, technology changes so fast.
You have to be an expert.
You have to be all the time an expert. Now, that costs a lot of money. Yeah. And unless you are really doing that day and night, which honestly for most brands it doesn't make that much sense, I think it is not cost efficient. But so I believe for market research, we see a shift towards a lot going to mining the huge amount of information that's on the internet that people don't really. I think it is not fully used as yet because it is fairly new.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of information there.
And there's now, new companies coming out. Like I've heard about this company, User Testing. I don't know if you heard about them. I think they're based out of Seattle. But they offer, let's say, the market research capabilities that usually only the big brands have to startups. So in using software. And that's we could only, like in the 90s or even before that, you could only dream about doing that kind of research when you're a startup. Because you wouldn't have the funds and you wouldn't have the people, etc. And now you can do all that by machine learning, by aggregating data, etc. So that's a very cool thing that's going on there. Yeah,
I think that we do see some major developments. But even, say, traditional market research like surveys, it is a lot cheaper to do it over the internet. You don't have to physically ring the bell and trying to get into
hire all kinds of people
and hiring. So it is and data processing goes automatic. If you just have a nice program behind, you can just get the histogram, you know, at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So very simple. So we see a lot of exciting developments also in market research. But I also want to still point out something that is, let us not throw out the baby with the bathwater, is that focus groups, you know, okay, what do you feel about the brand, etc. I think, you know, that may actually be really replaced by internet-based data collection scraping. But to get really, you know, new creative ideas,
you have to talk to people.
You have to talk to people.
Yep.
But there are, of course, some really good things like crowdsourcing sites, yep, like Yika is one of the players. There are other ones that essentially have these contests where creative people can do that. So you see also here that the internet is now doing global crowdsourcing with creative contests. So you can talk to people in a focus group, mm-hmm, or you can have a creative contest where people have their own ideas about advertising, product positioning, new product development. So I think we see also a shift there towards technology enabled, even new product ideas, advertising, yeah, ideas, etc.
Okay.
But so there is one thing that you have to think into account. If you do really global crowdsourcing, mm-hmm, okay, you know, it's global crowdsourcing is essentially you get the minds of the whole world.
Yeah,
it's great. There's a little bit of an issue there. One of the issues is language,
of course, yeah,
and
culture.
And culture. Yeah. So what research has found is that people in what is called loose cultures, those are less strong societal norms, what is right behavior, mm-hmm, think about more individualistic cultures, roughly speaking, they have a much higher likelihood to participate in these contests than people that are from tight or collective cultures, because, yep, it's not clear what you're saying is being positively valued, standing out. So this is something that is an interesting recent study has found. So there sometimes, perhaps, a good old focus group might be really, yep, useful. So I would say evaluate it on the situation, but that technology is going to play a bigger role in brand building.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to our iTunes channel. Also, if you want to be interviewed on this podcast, or if you have any questions on marketing technology, send me an email on e.crum@marketingguys.nl. Thank you.